Okay, I'll just open in prayer. Yes, Lord, please let everything that I say this morning be of you, and that it has an impact on those that hear it. Amen.
Amen.
Do you like my title? Gareth got it immediately when I said what I was preaching on today. He said, "Jesus wins." I went, "You're in the zone. He's in the zone." So lots of you might be in the zone later on. Because sometimes we forget that. And I believe this morning that God wants you to remember it. This morning's passage is from Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 to 23. And I'm going to get Angela to come and read it.
You with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised. But not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Jesus from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths, for these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come, and Christ himself is that reality. Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or the worship of angels, saying that they've had visions about these things. Their sinful minds have made them proud, and they're not connected to Christ, the head of the body. For he holds the whole body together with its joints and ligaments, and it grows as God nourishes it. You have died with Christ, and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of the world, such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch? Such rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline, but they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires.
Yeah, I can wait that. Thank you very much. What am I going to pull out of that? That's a good question, isn't it? What do I think God has for you? When I thought about it and prayed about it, I thought, what about these blokes in this room about circumcision? Do I want them all sitting there cross-legged? No, I thought, I better not do that, so I'm not going to do circumcision. I'm going to do it in two parts. Part one. Steve has already explained that Colossians is a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Colossae while he was in prison in Rome. Very much like his letter to the Corinthians, he's trying to answer questions that he's received. People have written to him about stuff. And because he's in prison, he can't go. So this is how he's going to do it, by answering. So it seems that in verse 8, somebody's coming to the church and he's trying to convince them that they have found a better and new spiritual ways of worship than the ways of Jesus. That's basically what they're trying to say. So first, from verse 8, Kerris, there we go. 8. Is there no verse 8? Sure there's a verse 8. Further up? No. Alright, no verse 8. I'll read it then. Don't let anyone capture you with the empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual... Oh, verse 8!
You have two titles.
Verse 8? Okay, don't worry. I'm sure I thought I put it on there. Calm down. Verse 8. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than Christ. That's what he says about the stuff that people were bringing. I'm not sure what the twaddle, I'm going to call it twaddle, I said to Dan yesterday, I'm going to call it twaddle, that these guys were bringing, but Paul wasn't impressed, was he? He wasn't impressed. Does it happen here and now in 2019? It can. So be on your guard. What type of things do you think I'm thinking about here? I'm going to start with something obvious. Hands up, right? Audience participation. Hands up. Who has ever read their horoscope? Kerris, 1, 2, 3. Yeah? Have you read your horoscopes? I have. I've done that. I was born at the end of May, and that makes me a Gemini. Apparently. The sign is of the twins. And my mum says I have the traits of a twin. What does that even mean? I do have a sister. She was born 18 months after me. I don't think she was a frozen embryo during that time. I don't think they had the technology. So, no. If I had been born a month earlier, or early in the month, I would be a Taurus, the sign of the bull, apparently. I sometimes talk a lot of... No, I didn't say it. It's got asterisks. But sometimes what I say does make sense. Well, I think it does anyway. If you were born at the beginning of March, then you are a Pisces, apparently. The sign of the fish. Does that make you a really good swimmer?
No?
Good swimmer? No? Twaddle. Utter twaddle. I remember years ago once reading all 12 of them. 6 of them were exactly the same with different words. 3 said I should be careful that day, might have an accident. And 2 said I was going to be lucky. Twaddle. Complete and utter twaddle. What about the other one? Chinese New Year's. I'm a monkey, apparently. A really monkey. Am I a monkey? I think I'd rather be a tiger or a dragon. But I suppose I could have been a rat or a snake. And this year, I think it's the year of the pig. Anybody pigs? Well, no, I'm not going to ask anybody pigs in here. No? Better not do that. How does Paul describe it? Nonsense. Utter twaddle. I haven't been to Blackpool in a while. But I remember walking down the front and there would be some woman called Mystic Meg. Come here and have your palm read or something. Yeah? Last week we were in Newcastle. There was a Sunday market. Caravan there. Gypsy. Real gypsy. Come and have your teas leave red. Really? You're going to get your future from some tea leaves? You can sit here and laugh, can't you? Yoga. Some kind of spiritual stuff. Crystals. Reiki, whatever that is. Auras. Angels. Some kinds of martial arts do it. Some people have been taken in by this stuff. Maybe you have in the past. You'll put your hands up about horoscopes. Some of you might put your hands up to the other stuff. It all sounds very plausible, but it takes you away from the truth, which is right here in verse 9 and 10. 9 and 10, Kenneth. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Says it all. You don't need anything else. Jesus is all you need. It's as simple as that. As I said earlier, this is a message in two parts. And I feel that there may be some people here that maybe want to be rid of some stuff that we may have picked up through our lives, like reading horoscopes and auras and crystals and yoga and twaddle. And I want to give a little time for that right now. Let's not waste a moment getting free of that stuff. I feel that today God wants us to declare as a church that we only worship Him, not the other stuff. It's Him, nothing else. I don't usually do this type of stuff. I find it a bit cringy. But I'm going to do it because I feel it's right. A few years ago, as a church, we did a course called Freedom in Christ. Some of you might remember it. There it is. There's a book. And we took through steps, through stuff that we did. And this bit deals with it, so I'm going to read it. So, because it's a bit cringy, I'm still going to ask you to stand up, all of you that want to. So anybody who wants to get me free from some stuff, horoscopes, you all, some of you put your hands up, please stand. If you all want to sit there and keep carrying on with that stuff, you can. Nobody's standing up. So are you happy? Are you happy to be having horoscopes in your life? No? Well, stand up then. All right, then. Just keep sat down.
I mean, stand up.
Right. Okay. Next line. Okay. This is the prayer that you need to pray if you want to get rid of that twaddle at your eye. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I confess that I have participated in stuff
that may have
led me away from you,
that
And I renounce them.
And cancel out any effect
the enemy gained in my life. Thank you that in Christ I am forgiven. Amen. Thank you very much for those that stood up. Thank you very much for those that read that out. And thank you very much for being obedient. Sometimes we can get caught up in stuff. And I know there's stuff going around our angels at the minute, or it seems that there is. I don't know why that is. You know, stuff like that. There's an angel looking over you and stuff. I think this is a part of what Paul was referring to in verse 18. Which says, don't let anyone, I don't know if I've got a slide for that or not, I don't think I have. Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or the worship of angels, saying they have visions about these things. Their sinful minds have made them proud. And that could be a delicate thing for you. I don't know. But I want to back it up with another piece of scripture. We don't read much from Revelation or get it preached on very much. I can't really remember having it done. But I like Revelation. Proper wrath of God stuff. Real intense stuff. And I'm going to be going reading from a bit from it later on. But I'm going to read from this. Revelation chapter 19, verse 9 to 10. And the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. That's you guys. And he added, these are true words that come from God. And I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said, no, don't worship me. I am a servant of God, just like you and your brothers and sisters who testify about their faith in Jesus. Worship only God, for the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus. Why worship angels when an angel says that? Angel says, worship Jesus. I don't know. It was something that came to me and I thought I'd read it and that's it. An angel says, worship God. So why worship angels? Right. That's the end of part one. Have I got you gripped?
Yes.
Yeah? You're all listening. You're all scared now, aren't you? You're going to get more scared. More scared now. Sorry. I'm going to go wrath of God stuff. Why, you're asking? You'll find out. When I was first became a Christian, there were things I didn't quite get. One of them was that Christ defeated Satan on the cross. I thought, how did that happen? Verses 13 to 15 explain it quite well. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He cancelled the record of the charges against you, us, and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. By taking your sin and my sin on himself, Jesus made a path for us to have a relationship with God. What may have looked like defeat from the outside on Good Friday
was a complete and utter victory when he rose again on Easter Sunday. Sometimes we forget how much of an overwhelming victory it was. Satan still tries his little tricks amongst us, and sometimes we fall for them. The bottom line, Satan is toast. I really feel that this is what Paul wants to get you to get from this piece of Colossians. Jesus wins and always wins. I read Revelation 19 earlier, and I'm going to do so again. I'm going to read that bit that I read about angels, and then I'm going to read the next bit. So, Revelation chapter 19, verse 9 to 10. And the angel said to me, write this: blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb, which is you. And he added, these are true words that come from God. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him. And he said, no, don't worship me. I am a servant of God, just like you and your brothers and sisters who testify about their faith in Jesus. Worship only God, for the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus. Revelation 19, verses 11 to 21. Mine's entitled The Rider on the White Horse. I'm reading from the NLT. Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him, and no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a winepress. On his robe, at his thigh, was written this title: King of all kings, Lord of all lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, shouting to the vultures flying high in the sky, come, gather together for the great banquet God has prepared. Come and eat the flesh of kings, generals and strong warriors, of horses and their riders, and of all humanity, both free and slave, small and great. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the world and their armies gathered together to fight against the one sitting on the horse and his army. And the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who did mighty miracles on behalf of the beast, miracles that deceived all who had accepted the mark of the beast and who worshipped his statue. Both the beast and his false prophet were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Their entire army was killed by the sharp sword that came from the mouth of the one riding the white horse, and the vultures all gorged themselves on the dead bodies. Toast. Utter toast. Amazing. Overwhelming power. Awesome. complete and utter victory for the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. That is who he's fighting for you. And where did he win this mighty victory? At the cross. When you are going through trials and troubles, you are not alone. I want to have a little illustration. I would like to, for you to participate if you feel you can. I think you'll get the idea. David? Where's the microphone?
Right.
Come and stand here. You're in trouble. No, David. Nobody loves you. Who's going to help you?
What if he called on some help? What if he asked for some prayer?
Please, Lord, help me.
Is God listening? Is Jesus listening? Is the Holy Spirit listening? Is David's family listening? Are the other youth listening? David sends out a prayer request on the prayer chain. Is the prayer chain listening? Oops. Are any Christians left listening? And if that wasn't enough, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. Do you think you can win now, David? Looks good from my perspective. He's retreated. You can go back to your seats. You've made a point. It looked very good from this angle.
Thank you for that. Thank you, David. I think you all jumped when I shouted. Ryan nearly peed his pants when I did it yesterday. I did a practice yesterday, and I think Daniel did it all. You get it? You're not alone. You get it, do you? You understand? Jesus wins. We are in Jesus.
Jesus in us, so we win. I've had a line of scripture rolling around my head once I got this thing, and while I've been preparing this, and it's the Lord of Heaven's Armies. The Lord of Heaven's Armies rattling around in my head. The sketch that we've just done with David is represented elsewhere in the Bible. I've got something in mind. Any ideas? No? David is quite a big clue. David and Goliath. It mimics what happens in the passage that I read from Revelation. I'm going to read it out and I'll show you that. And I like how, well, I love it actually, how scripture can go from New Testament to Old Testament to here and to right now. 1 Samuel 17, verse 41 to 47. Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at the ruddy-faced boy. "Am I a dog?" he roared at David, "that you come at me with a stick." And he cursed David by the names of his gods. "Come over here and I'll give you the flesh to the birds and the wild animals," Goliath yelled. David replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of Heaven's Armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals." There again. "And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with the sword and the spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us." The battle is already won. Already won. The battles in your lives are already won. Goliath thought David was this. And he was this. If I drop it, it'll go right through the stage. I'm not sure whether that'll stand up. Yes, it does. There we go. Goliath thought he was this, and David was that. It was, but David came in the name of the Lord of Heaven's Armies. It was Goliath who was that in this story. A little toffee hammer. This is your opposition. This is Satan. This is who David is in this story. A massive sledgehammer. This is your ally. This
is the Lord of heaven's armies. This is Jesus. Goliath never stood a chance. Satan never stands a chance. Call on Jesus and Satan will run from you. It says so. I don't know where the scripture is, but I know it's in there. You have to believe it. Overwhelming. You heard the phrase, haven't you? When I have a sledgehammer to crack a nut. Satan's a nut, I've got a sledgehammer. And I'm going to use it. I'm going to wrap it up there. But I want you to reflect on two things. The first part, all that stuff. Does it twaddle? Does it reflect God? Does it put Jesus on the throne? If the answer is no, then it's twaddle. Second part, Jesus won a great victory at the cross. He disarmed all the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So you can call on him anytime, and the Lord of heaven's armies will come. So David here. Jesus has won the battle already. You are in him and he is in you. I'm wrapped up there. I'm not sure if there's anybody got any words or pictures or anything. But if you have, as Pete said, he can fetch them.